If you have your copies of God's Word with you this morning, let me invite you to turn to the book of Isaiah, Isaiah chapter 9. And I'm going to read verses 6 and 7 this morning. Isaiah chapter 9. Beginning in verse 6. For a child will be born to us, a son will be given to us, and the government will rest on his shoulders. And his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace. There will be no end to the increase of his government or of peace on the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and righteousness from then on and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will accomplish this. Beloved, that is the word of Almighty God. Let's pray. Lord, we come to you this morning thanking you for the gift of peace that you've given to us in Christ our Savior. Lord, you tell us he indeed is the Prince of Peace. Lord, we ask this morning as we consider these things from your word that you would give us a fresh sense of our Savior who came to us, to those who were rebellious against him, and yet, Lord, came to us in peace that we might have peace with you in his life and in his death and in his resurrection from the dead. Thank you, Lord, you're faithful to do these things. Thank you that, Lord, you love us in such a way. You've given us your mighty word to understand these things more and more. We praise you for it and ask in Jesus' name, amen. You know, there's nothing like the announcement of the coming birth of a new baby. It's a special time. I remember when Tina and I announced the coming birth of our firstborn son. It was exciting. It was something that we didn't expect at the time. And yet, we're excited to make this announcement of the coming birth of our firstborn. And we announced it first to our parents. I remember that particularly. And there was great excitement in our family. I remember particularly when Tina announced to her sister, Cindy, that she screamed really loud when she heard the announcement of this coming one. And so in our family, there was a great sense of anticipation of the birth of this baby, this new baby who was coming into the world, our baby. And so we thought in our minds, as all new parents do upon the announcement of a coming one, what will this baby be like? What will come of this little one that the Lord has given to us? And as we thought about that even more, then we realized, what in the world are we going to name this one? What will we name this little child? As we have seen, beloved, over the past few weeks during this time of Advent, we've seen that the Lord himself, as we saw through the prophet Isaiah, the Lord himself announced to us through his word the birth, the coming birth of his son. He's the one that announced. And you recall the context of that announcement was back in the days of Isaiah, 750 years before the birth of the Savior. God looked down upon Israel, upon Jerusalem, with the Assyrian threat that was posed against them. And as he looked down, also he looked down upon us in our state of rebellion, in our state of darkness, in our state of sin. And with that, he made an announcement. In Isaiah chapter 9, verse 2, the Lord tells us, he says, the people who walk in darkness, people who walk in darkness will see a great light. And those who live in a dark land, the light will shine upon them. And so our God, Almighty God, looked upon us in our natural state, our state of sin, our state of separation from Almighty God. He looked down upon us from his throne of glory. He looked upon us in our state of darkness. He looked at us in our blindness. unable to see and recognize the glory of a holy God, understanding that we face judgment for our sin for a God who is holy and just. And yet he looked upon us. Almighty God looked upon us. And he tells us that in this land which is in distress, this land that is in darkness, will not always be in darkness. And he responds to us. He looks upon us and he responds to us in our distress and in our darkness. And he responds to us by coming to us. He is separated from us, and yet he comes to us, the scripture tells us. We saw a few weeks back in Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14, the prophet says to us, through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, he says, "Behold, a virgin will be born with child and bear a son, and his name will be called Emmanuel, God with us." Not only does he see us and look to us, he comes to us. He dwells with us. Emmanuel, God with us. The Lord announces this. Again, 750 years later, the Apostle John, having looked back upon his life with the Savior, Jesus Christ, Emmanuel, God with us, who revealed the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit in his very existence, he writes this in John 1, "And the Word became flesh." Almighty God became real humanity, and he dwelt among us. And we saw his glory, John tells us, glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. He came to us. He became one of us, yet without sin. And so we read this morning that Isaiah tells us, he announces again, a child will be born to us. He says, a son will be given to us. Eternal God announces that this baby will be born to us. Now, this baby will be a son who is given to us, and yet we understand that, unlike my teen and I with the birth of our firstborn, this is not our son. This is the Son of God. The Son of God who is being given to us. The birth of this child is God's gift to us. This magnificent gift of himself to us. The Word became flesh. We also understand that Isaiah writes, and the government, we saw, will rest upon his shoulders. The government will rest upon his shoulders. This son who will be born, as was promised to David, will also be a son of David. He descends from the line of David, as God promised to David during his lifetime. And he fulfills every promise that God made to the king, to David the king, in that his throne, through this son, the throne of David will be established for how long? Forever. In this son who has come to us, who was born to us, who was given to us in this way. And Isaiah writes that upon this son, the burden of the government of God's kingdom will rest. The responsibility of governing God's people, his kingdom, will rest upon this son. And he will rule over God's kingdom. How? With grace and peace and power. And the government will rest upon his shoulders. And you may recall, after Jesus fulfilled everything was given him by the Father to do, and right before he's received back up into heaven, fully God, fully man, he told his disciples, he said, "All authority in heaven and earth has been given upon me." He fulfilled everything according to the Word of God, according to the promise to David. And so the Lord announces the coming of this Son, this Prince of Peace, who will come to us in this way. And not only does he do that, this coming and announcement, he does give him a name. We see. He helps us to understand what his name will be. Now, we all understand, those of us who are parents, that one of the first questions that you're asked upon the announcement of a coming baby is, "So what are you going to name him?" All right? What is his name going to be? And when we were asked that, then the realization of the importance of that responsibility began to weigh on us. Because we can name him whatever we wanted to name him. But it's important. Names are important. And particularly so in the Scriptures. In the Scriptures, names carry very important meaning that's important for us to understand. And that's what we focused on during this whole Advent season. The names given to the coming Son. The one who was announced by Almighty God Himself. We saw this in Isaiah 6 or 9:6 again, that God has, the Father has named this one Wonderful Counselor. He is indeed God Himself who brings the wisdom of His counsel to us, the wisdom of His rule to us. He is also Mighty God. He is the fullness of the Godhead, the revelation of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit in His flesh. Almighty God. He is also Eternal Father. He is Eternal God who has come to us as a loving Father. He cares for us. He loves us. He provides for us. And I would say this, if I could, I think in one sense, in a very real way, these three names that we've studied all culminate in the name we're looking at this morning, the Prince of Peace. He comes to us as the Prince of Peace. That's a beautiful name. Prince of Peace. How do we understand what this name means? Well, one thing we can say about this is as the Prince of Peace, He'll rule over His kingdom in power and in peace. And when you say it this way, that fundamentally, as the Prince of Peace, He comes to us to restore that peace with God which has been lost due to our sin. He comes to us with this in view, to restore that peace between Almighty God and humanity, those who have turned their back upon Him. And He establishes His kingdom. He is the Prince of Peace. He does so not by making war, but He establishes His kingdom by bringing peace. By bringing peace. This is not a peace, beloved, that will be overthrown. This is not a peace that lasts for only a century or a millennium. This is an eternal peace. A peace that He brings between Almighty God and His people. And so with respect to peace in the Bible, as we see peace and understand peace, we can say this about peace. It is the sum of all good things which God brings to His people. All the good things that God brings to His people. It's God looking upon you in the beauty of His countenance. It's God's face, the glory of His being shining upon you in the glory of His grace. It's God looking upon you and coming to you and dealing with you and saving you from all of your distresses in this world. Peace. Peace. He is the Prince of Peace. Well, that's who He is. But that's not all. As He comes to us, He does that which redounds to His name. He brings and accomplishes peace. He brings peace with God for His people. Peace with God for His people. And we see this in the Scriptures. We see this in the announcement, with the announcement of His birth in Bethlehem. Of course, we all understand and remember the story that the night in which Jesus was born, that Luke tells us there were shepherds nearby in the fields and they were watching over their sheep. And we understand it was nighttime. If you have a sense of this, it's dark. And these shepherds are watching their sheep. They've put down for the night. It's darkness cloaks all the sheep who have gathered upon that field. And one may perhaps think they're discussing the day's activities. They're already planning for tomorrow. They're satisfied that their sheep are settled. And then the Scripture tells us that suddenly, out of the darkness, appears an angel sent from God to these shepherds. suddenly there appeared an angel from God. And through this angel, Almighty God announces to these lowly shepherds who no one cared about that today, the promise made by Almighty God through Isaiah the prophet, today that promise is being realized because the Prince of Peace has been born. At this point, I think Luke gives to us one of the most beautiful passages in all of Scripture, and I'm going to read this for us, if you'll allow me. In Luke chapter 2, beginning in verse 9, listen to how Luke describes to us what's happening here. Beginning in verse 9 of chapter 2 of Luke, an angel of the Lord again suddenly appeared before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terribly frightened. The glory of God can do that to you. They were terribly frightened. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news." That's the gospel. "I bring you good news of great joy, which will be for all people." Why? "For today, in the city of David, there has been born for you a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in clothes and lying in a manger." And then Luke continues, "And suddenly there appeared with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts," who appeared right before these shepherds. First one angel, then a multitude of hosts from Almighty God's glory sent to these guys. And they said, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace among men with whom he is pleased." How is that possible? How is that possible? In the midst of this night, this multitude of angels speaking out peace. The glory of God spoke through the blackness of that night. They speak peace. They announce the coming one. He will be born to them, given to those with whom God is pleased. And so the scripture tells us peace, true peace, real peace is given to us through this one. The one to whom we turn to. The one whom we recognize our sin and turn away from our sin and turn to Him as Savior to bring peace to us with God. And so He announces, and we see the peace of God in Christ at the announcement of His birth. But we also see peace in His life. Peace in His life. In John's gospel, John tells us that right before Jesus went to the cross, to give Himself up to the cross to be crucified, He spoke with His disciples and He explained to them these things, that while He lived with them, He spoke the Word of God to them. The Word became flesh, spoke the very Word of God to His disciples. He spoke to them the Word of life to His disciples. He spoke the Word of peace to them. The amazing thing is, if you read the words of Christ, and this is in John chapter 14, the amazing thing is that Jesus says, "Although I'm leaving you in bodily form now, I'm leaving you in my flesh, and yet the Father will send the Holy Spirit, the very Spirit of God, in my name," He says to His disciples, "who will come to you." He will come to you. He will come to you in my name. And in a real sense, you see, the peace that the disciples witnessed day in and day out in the life of Christ, they saw His peace with God. That kind of peace that they witnessed would become their legacy, His legacy to them. And to us, if we're in Christ, His very Spirit indwells us. It fills us. It holds us. It loves us. This is the same peace that we enjoy in the fullness of His very Spirit who indwells us in Christ. Peace with God. John 14, 27, Jesus said this. He said, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give to you. Do not let your heart be troubled, nor let it be fearful. That's what he said. Now, beloved, this peace has nothing to do. The peace that Jesus offers has nothing to do with what the world offers as peace. Nothing at all. The world offers a false peace. Their peace is that which glitters with gold, yet in a very short time it turns to dust and simply just blows away. It blows away. That's the peace of the world. The peace that Jesus offers is an everlasting peace with God. Peace with God always puts away in our lives fear and anxiousness and trouble. No matter what happens to us, peace with God puts that away. Peace with God is the assurance that God's everlasting life has been given to us in Christ. This is His peace. It is the assurance that God's salvation in our lives has saved us from the wrath of God poured out for sin. We've been saved by that. We have peace with God. Beloved, this peace is a living presence in our lives of Almighty God, demonstrated by the giving of His Son to us. To us. So in His life, He brings us peace. We also see in the life of Christ that even in His death, He brings to us peace. Ultimately, from the Scriptures, we understand that the Father gave to us His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, Jesus of Nazareth, as His means, as His way to save us from His judgment over sin, as He gave His Son. He gave His Son to that same judgment on our behalf. And let me say it this way. You cannot separate the peace of God from the cross of Christ. He takes the cross of Christ and the outpouring of God's wrath on our behalf for us as His people to enjoy true peace with God. And I would say this too. Not only did the Father send the Son to do this for us, He willingly sent His Son to the cross, but the Son willingly gave Himself. This is the Son's doing. He willingly gave Himself on our behalf. Let me say it this way. Every sin for us, every sin that we've committed either to this point or to the day we die, if we are in Christ, has already been laid upon Him. He paid the price. He endured the wrath of God for us to give us peace. John writes in 1 John 3:1, and he considers these things that Christ has done for us, and he says, how great a love the Father has bestowed on us. How can He love us this much? How great a love the Father has bestowed upon us that we would be called the children of God. Peace. Also, in John's Gospel, we see that right before Jesus gave Himself up to death on the cross, He died when He was ready. Right before He gave Himself up on the cross, knowing that He had accomplished everything for us, everything to win peace for us with Almighty God, after He had done that, when it was over, He of course said, and He cried out, "It is finished. It's done. Everything required of me on behalf of my people has been completed. I have completed peace. I have brought peace to my people according to my sacrifice, my obedience to the Father." And Christ's payment for the sin of His people indeed has been paid in full. It was certainly made clear and self-evident and complete in His life and in His death. And in 3 days' time after that, He proved it in His resurrection from the dead. The pastor read from Colossians 1 this morning. Verse 19 says, "For it was the Father's good pleasure, the fullness to dwell in Him, in the Son." And then he says, "And through Him, through Christ, to reconcile all things to Himself, having made peace through the blood of His cross." He's the Prince of Peace. took the fury of God's wrath upon him that was poured out upon him to win peace for us. Let me say it this, if you're in Christ today, if you enjoy the fullness of His Spirit in your life, being reconciled to the Father, if you enjoy true peace with Almighty God today, if that's a reality for you, then all the distress and the anxiety and the separation has been put aside and replaced with peace with God. You have been reconciled to Almighty God through the Prince of Peace, our Savior, Jesus Christ. So let me just ask, do you live with that kind of peace in your life? Is that a reality for you? Truly? Do you ask yourself, how can anyone realize that kind of peace? How can anybody enjoy that kind of peace? Well, Paul tells us how. He says in Romans 5:1, therefore, having been justified by faith, having been declared righteous by faith in Christ, we have peace with God in Jesus Christ. That's the word of our Lord. That's the word of our Lord. And so the Prince of Peace brings to us peace, a gift of God made possible by our faith in the Prince of Peace, by our faith in Christ Himself. And it's this grace of God alone, this wonderful outpouring of God's wonderful merit in our lives that opens our eyes to our sin and our need for a Savior. That's God's grace. That's God's grace. Let me say, if you can't say today for sure, I have that kind of peace. I've been reconciled with the Father through Christ. If you can't say that today, cry out to Him. Cry out to Him. He will not turn you away. He is the Prince of Peace. Well, let's pray. Lord, we thank You that You reveal so much of Yourself to us in and through Your Word. Lord, we who are so unworthy, we who are so loathsome sometimes to obey and to come to You, and yet, Lord, You've come to us. We pray, Father, that this sense of peace, the reality of peace in Christ, would truly be a reality for all of us today. We thank You, Lord, that You hear us. We thank You, Lord, that You've called us to Yourself in Christ. And we pray for those today who can't say that, Lord, that You would do a work in their hearts and in their minds. And we ask in Jesus' name, amen.